Jayad Vaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This morning I'm reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 12, The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. I'll be reading text 153 to 203. So this is part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. And you know, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we're given the opportunity to become absorbed in and join in, you know, these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. They're very marvelous pastimes. If we didn't have this opportunity, we'd simply be absorbed in the pastimes of material existence, which are out there for everybody, but somehow we've got this opportunity to absorb our minds in the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm just going to read the translations. This is after the cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. There's prasadam distribution going on. In the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with other devotees. Vaninath Roy then came and brought all kinds of Mahaprasad. Both Kashi Mishra and Tulsi, the superintendent of the temple, brought as much prasad as 500 men could eat. Seeing the large quantity of prasad, which consisted of rice, cakes, sweet rice, and varieties of vegetables, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Among the devotees present with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Shankara, Nandacharya, Raghava Pandit, and Vakreshwara were also present. Receiving the permission of the Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sat down. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees sat on raised wooden seats. In this way, all the devotees sat down to take their lunch in consecutive lines, one beside the other. Sri Chaitanya, so that's where we get our system, sitting in consecutive lines. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly calling, Haridas, Haridas. And at that time, Haridas, standing at a distance, spoke as follows. Haridas Thakur said, let Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take his lunch with the devotees. Since I am abominable, I can't sit down among you. Govinda will give me prasad later outside the door. Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not call him again. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, Kashiswar, Gopinath, Vaninath, and Shankara distributed prasad, and the devotees chanted the holy names at intervals. Lord Sri Krishna had previously taken his lunch in the forest, and that very pastime was remembered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just by remembering the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was agitated by ecstatic love. However, considering the time and circumstances, he remained somewhat patient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can give me the ordinary vegetables known as lafra vanjana, and you may deliver to all the devotees better preparations like cakes, sweet rice, and amrita gutika. Purport. This lafra vyanjana is a combination of several green vegetables all mixed together. It is often mixed with rice and delivered to poor men. Amrita gutika is a preparation of thick puri mixed with condensed milk. It is also known as Amrita Rasavali. Since Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, he knew what types of preparation each person liked. He therefore had Swarup Damodar deliver these preparations to their full satisfaction. So you can just imagine, you know, you're sitting there in the row, and Lord Chaitanya knows exactly what your favorite preparation is. I think everybody has one. And there it is, to your full satisfaction. Jagannanda went to distribute prasad, and suddenly he placed all the first-class preparations on the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, just give me the simple vegetable preparation. I don't want anything else. So, to see how bold this devotee was to serve Lord Chaitanya like that. When such nice prasad was put on the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord was outwardly very angry. Nonetheless, when the preparations were placed on his plate, sometimes by tricks and sometimes by force, the Lord was satisfied. When the food was thus delivered, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at it for some time. Being afraid of Jagadananda, he finally ate something. Jagadananda was always very eager to serve the Lord. I think he was in the mood of, what was he, one of Krishna's wives, Satyabhama, right? That's right. So he was afraid, Lord Chaitanya was afraid, if he didn't eat, then Jagadananda would become unhappy. The Lord knew that if he did not eat the food offered by Jagadananda, Jagadananda would certainly fast. Being afraid of this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate some of the prasad he offered. Swarup Damodar Goswami then brought some excellent sweetmeats and, standing before the Lord, offered them to him. Swarup Damodar Goswami then said, just take a little of this Mahaprasad and see how it is that Lord Jagannath has accepted it. So you can see the devotees were being very diplomatic, you know, telling him not, okay, take this, enjoy. Just take a little bit. See how Lord Jagannath has enjoyed it. Upon saying this, Swarup Damodar Goswami placed some food before the Lord, and the Lord, out of affection, ate it. So these are the dealings of the Lord and his devotees. Out of affection, they respond to each other. Swarup Damodar and Jagadananda again and again offered the Lord some food. Thus they behaved affectionately with the Lord. This was very, very uncommon. The Lord made Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sit on his left side. And when Sarvabhauma saw the behavior of Swarup Damodar and Jagadananda, he smiled. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to offer Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first-class food. Therefore, out of affection, he had the servers put first-class food on his plate again and again. Gopinath Acharya also brought first-class food and offered it to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya while speaking sweet words. After serving Bhattacharya with first-class prasad, Gopinath Acharya said, just imagine what Bhattacharya's previous mundane behavior must have been. Just consider how at present he is enjoying transcendental bliss. Purport. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was previously a smarta brahmana, that is, one who strictly follows the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. On the mundane platform, one cannot believe that prasad is transcendental, that Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. These transcendental considerations are out of the ordinary Vedic scholar's jurisdiction. Most scholars are called Vedantists. So-called followers of Vedanta philosophy consider the absolute truth to be impersonal. They also believe that a person born in a particular caste cannot change his caste until he dies and takes rebirth. The Smarta Brahmanas also reject the fact that Mahaprasad, food offered to the deity, is transcendental and materially uncontaminated. Originally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was subjected to all the rules and regulations of the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. Now, Gopinath Acharya pointed out how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been converted by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being converted, Sarvabhauma partook of prasad with the Vaishnavas. Indeed, he sat by the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was one of the big conversions in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya converted this head of the Smarta Brahmanas and Mayavadi sannyasis into a devotee of the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "I was simply a less intelligent logician. However, by your grace, I have received this opulence of perfection." But for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, who is so merciful? He has converted a crow into a Garuda. Who could be so merciful? The followers of Lord Chaitanya, like Srila Prabhupada, are merciful in that same way, converting crows into Garudas. We're all examples. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, in the association of jackals of logic, I simply continue to bark a resounding pew, pew. Now, from the same mouth, I am chanting the names Krishna and Hari. Whereas I associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the association of devotees. Purport. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the word bahirmukha refers to a person who is very busy tasting material enjoyment. Such a person always poses himself as an enjoyer of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being attracted by external opulence, the non-devotee always forgets his intimate relationship with Krishna. Such a person does not like the idea of becoming Krishna conscious. This is explained by Srila Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7530. Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mitobipadyeta Grihavratanam Adantago Bir Vishitam Tamishram Punat punas charvita charvananam. Materialists who are overly attracted to the material body, material world, and material enjoyment, who cannot control their material senses, are carried to the darkest regions of material existence. Such people cannot become Krishna conscious, neither by themselves nor by congregational effort. Such people do not understand that the goal of life for a human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. A human life is especially meant for this purpose, and one has to go through all kinds of penances and austerities and set aside the propensity for sense gratification. Materialists always remain blind because they are always guided by blind rascals. A materialistic person considers himself free to act as he likes. He does not know that he is rigidly controlled by the stringent laws of nature, nor does he know that he has to transmigrate from one body to another and perpetually rot in material existence. Such rascals and foolish people are lured by the prayers of their foolish leaders for sense gratification, and they cannot understand what is meant by Krishna consciousness. The material world exists outside the spiritual sky, and a foolish materialist cannot estimate the extent of that material sky. What then can he know of the spiritual sky? Materialists simply believe their imperfect senses and do not take instructions from the revealed scriptures. According to Vedic civilization, one has to see through the authority of the revealed scriptures, Shastra Chakshush. One should see everything through the medium of the Vedic literature. In this way, one can distinguish between the spiritual world and material world. If one ignores such instructions, he cannot be convinced of the existence of the spiritual world. Because they have forgotten their spiritual identity, materialists take this material world as the all in all. They are therefore called Bahirmukhis. Krishna Bahirmukahana Bhogavanchakari Nikitashta Mayatari Chapati Adari. If one turns one's face from Krishna, then Maya, the material energy, is there to capture one. And under the spell of the illusory energy, one follows material leaders who are promising sense gratification. Everybody actually follows some leader. The only question is whether one is going to follow spiritual leaders with genuine transcendental knowledge or material leaders. In material society, there are so many political leaders, material political leaders, material cultural leaders, material philosophers, material scientists, material artists and musicians, and people follow them. But where are they going? They're just going deeper and deeper into material ignorance, into the cycle of birth and death. But if we follow spiritual leaders with genuine transcendental knowledge, we make progress going back home, back to Godhead. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "From your previous birth, you have been in Krishna consciousness. Thus, you love Krishna so much that simply by your association, we are all developing Krishna consciousness." So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya may in some previous birth have been Krishna conscious. In this particular lifetime, he wasn't displaying it, at least in the beginning. But when he came in contact with Lord Chaitanya, his Krishna consciousness was renewed then. And Srila Prabhupada has said that about some of his followers, that they must have been Krishna conscious in some previous life, made some progress and are taking up the path again. Of course, it can also be due to just complete causeless mercy. Thus, there is no one within these three worlds, save for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always so willing to increase the glories of the devotees and give them satisfaction. Purport. In this regard, one should consult the discussion between Kapila Dev and Devahuti on the subject matter of devotional service. This is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took all the remnants of food offered to Jagannath, such as cakes and sweet rice, and distributed them to all the other devotees, calling them individually. Sri Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu sat side by side, were when prasad was being distributed, they both engaged in a type of mock fighting. So this is a very amazing pastime, the mock fighting between Advaitacharya and Nityananda. First, Advaitacharya said, "I am sitting in line with an unknown mendicant, and because I am eating with him, I do not know what kind of destination is awaiting me." Nityananda Prabhu was, you know, Advaitacharya was from a very elevated Brahminical family. Of course, he was a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya also, but he was, had a very high social position in the Brahmin community. Whereas Nityananda Prabhu was a bit of an avaduta. So he was referring to that in a joking way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order of life. Consequently, he does not recognize discrepancies. As a matter of fact, a sannyasi is not affected by eating food from anywhere and everywhere. According to Shastra, there is no discrepancy in a sannyasi's eating at another's house. However, for a householder brahmana, this kind of eating is faulty. It is not proper for householders to dine with those whose previous birth, family, character, and behavior are unknown. Nityananda Prabhu immediately refuted Srila Advaitacharya, saying, "You are a teacher of impersonal monism, and the monistic conclusion is a great hindrance to progressive pure devotional service. One who participates in your impersonal monistic philosophy does not accept anything but the one Brahman." This is like a reference to his name, Advaita, yeah, which means not dual. Purport. The impersonal monist does not believe that God is the only object of worship and that the living entities are his eternal servants. According to the monist, God and the devotee may be separate in the material state, but when they are spiritually situated, there is no difference between them. This is called Advaita Siddhanta, the conclusion of the monist. Monists consider devotional service of the Lord to be material activity. Therefore, they consider such devotional activities to be the same as karma or fruit of activity. This monistic mistake is a great stumbling block on the road to devotional service. Actually, this discussion between Advaitacharya and Nityananda was a mock fight to serve as a great instruction for all devotees. Sri Nityananda Prabhu wanted to point out that Advaitacharya, a pure devotee, did not agree with the monistic conclusion. So, in effect, he's saying one thing externally, but meaning another thing internally. So, that's why we need purports. Or else we could misunderstand what's going on. To continue the purport, the conclusion of devotional service is Vedanti tat tattva vidhas tattvam yajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:11. Absolute knowledge consists of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This conclusion is not the same as that of the monist. Srila Advaitacharya was given the title Acharya because he spread the bhakti cult, not the philosophy of monism. The true conclusion of Advaita Siddhanta is not the same as the philosophy of the monist. Here, Advaita Siddhanta means Advaya Jnana, or oneness in variety. Actually, Srila Nityananda Prabhu was praising Srila Advaitacharya through friendly mock fighting. He was giving the Vaishnav conclusion in terms of the Bhagavatam's conclusive words, Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidhas. This is also the conclusion of a mantra in the Chandogya Upanishad, Ekam Eva Dvitiyam. A devotee knows that there is oneness in diversity. So not just oneness, but oneness in diversity, simultaneous oneness and difference. The impersonalists just focus on absolute oneness. The devotees of the Lord realize, yes, there is oneness, but there is also simultaneously diversity between the different manifestations of the Lord's energies, the Lord's devotees. They always remain diverse, but they're one in the sense that, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, I am the source of everything. So everything is united in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the devotees are united with the Lord in purpose. They serve the Lord as eternal fragmental parts of the Lord. They serve the Lord. So they're one with the Lord in purpose, but they remain individual fragmental parts of the Lord. Mamaivamso jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, Krishna says. They are my eternal fragmental parts. So the difference is there, but the oneness is also there. Oneness in sense of all being part of Krishna, and oneness in service. A devotee knows that there is oneness in diversity. The mantras of the Shastras do not support the monistic conclusions of the impersonalists, nor does Vaishnava philosophy accept impersonalism without variety. Brahman is the greatest. He who includes everything, and that is oneness. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mataparatara Nanyat, there is no one superior to Krishna himself. He is the original substance because every category emanates from him. Thus, he is simultaneously one with and different from all other categories. The Lord is always engaged in a variety of spiritual activities, but the monist cannot understand spiritual variety. The conclusion is that although the powerful and the power are one and the same, within the energy of the powerful, there are varieties. In those varieties, there is a difference between one's personal self, between types of the same category, and between types of different categories. In other words, there is always variety in the categories which are understood as knowledge, the knower, and the knowable. Due to the eternal existence of knowledge, the knower, and the knowable, devotees everywhere know about the eternal existence of the form, name, qualities, pastimes, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees never agree with the monist preaching of oneness unless one adheres to the conceptions of the knower, the knowable, and knowledge. There is no possibility of understanding spiritual variety, nor can one taste the transcendental bliss of spiritual variety. The philosophy of monism is an adjustment of the Buddhist philosophy of voidism. In a mock fight with Sri Advaitacharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu was refuting this type of monistic philosophy. Vaishnavas certainly accept Lord Sri Krishna as the ultimate one, and that which is without Krishna is called Maya, or that which has no existence. External Maya is exhibited in two phases, Jiva Maya, the living entities, and Guna Maya, the material world. In the material world, there is Prakriti, material nature, and Pradhan, the ingredients of material nature. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious, material and spiritual variety do not exist. An advanced devotee like Prahlad Maharaj sees everything as one, Krishna. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Graha Gritit Atma Na Veda Jagat Idrisham, Bhagavatam 7.4.37. One who is in full Krishna consciousness does not distinguish between things material and spiritual. He takes everything to be related to Krishna and therefore spiritual. By Advaita Jnana Darshana, Srila Advaita Charya has glorified pure devotional service. Srila Nityananda Prabhu herein sarcastically condemns the philosophy of impersonal monist and praises the correct non-dual philosophy of Sri Advaita Acharya. So next verse. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "You are such a monist, and now I am sitting beside you. I do not know how my mind will be altered in this way." You know, so they're joking with each other. You know, Advaita Acharya is calling Nityananda just some unknown vagabond. He's actually a Paramahamsa, you know, wandering everywhere, Avaduta. And Nityananda is jokingly referring to Advaita as a monist. He is a monist in the sense that he's non-different from Krishna. He sees everything as non-different from Krishna, while still maintaining variety. So they're kind of joking with each other. And sometimes, you know, we see even, you know, devotees here, you know, they joke with each other like that. You know, they may call each other a rascal or this or that, you know, in some joking spirit. So purport. Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Bhagavad Gita 2.62. One develops his consciousness according to society and association. As Srila Nityananda Prabhu admits, a devotee should be very careful when associating with those who are not devotees. When asked by a householder devotee what the behavior of a devotee should be, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, "Asat sanga tyaga e Vaishnava achara, Sri sanga ekya sadhu Krishna bhakta ara." CC Madhya 2287. A Vaishnava, a devotee, should simply discard intimate association with non-devotees. In his Upadesha Amrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has described the symptoms of intimate relationships in this way. Datati pratigriyananti, guyamakyati prichtati, bhunkte bojayate chaiva, sadvidam pritidarsh pritilakshanam. The words bhunkte bojayate indicate that one should eat with devotees. One should carefully avoid eating food offered by non-devotees. Indeed, a devotee should be very strict in not accepting food from a non-devotee, especially food prepared in restaurants or hotels or on airplanes. Srila Nityananda Prabhu's reference in this connection is meant to emphasize that one should avoid eating with Mayavadis and convert Mayavadis like the Sahaja Vaishnavas who are materially affected. Next verse. Thus they both went on talking and praising one another, although their praise appeared negative, for it appeared as if they exchanged ill names. Thereafter, calling all the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Mahaprasad as if sprinkling nectar. At that time, the mock fight between Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu became more and more delicious. After taking their lunch, all the Vaishnavas stood up and chanted the holy names of Hari, and the resounding noise filled all the upper and lower planetary systems. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered flower garlands and sandalwood pulp to all his devoted personal associates. The seven persons headed by Swarup Damodar, who were engaged in distributing prasad to others, then took their meals within the room. Govinda saved some remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and kept them carefully. Later, one portion of these remnants was delivered to Haridas Thakur. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were later distributed among devotees who begged for them. And finally, Govinda personally took the last remnants. The fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead performs varieties of pastimes, the pastimes of washing and cleansing. The Gundicha temple is but one of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.